So it's an amazing privilege you've given me to call me as your minister. I'm going to say this many times, but I can't believe it's 5 years. It just has flown by. It's been more work than I expected. It's been more reward than I expected. It's been more joy than I expected. And I need to often thank my wife for making it all possible and for supporting me. Quite often, we have a little bit of a routine. I'm rushing out the door to one thing or another. And there may be many things in the house that I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm on my way out the door. And many times I've turned around and come back because I forgot something. So we have a bit of a routine, and she'll stop and say, okay, have you got your wallet? Have you got your phone? Have you got your computer? Have you got this? Have you got that? And I'll repeat, I've got my wallet. I've got my phone. And I have the love and support of my wife. And then I can go. So although the sermon is about my first 5 years in ministry, the unifying theme really is the idea of shared ministry. Being present with, to, and for others. I think we're all called to do that. This great, in the reading, the phrase was this great human venture. You know, to think that we are part of this amazing human venture, the story of humanity. We may only have a very small part in it, but it's a very important part for the people that you touch in your life. My greatest pleasure in ministry is when I observe somebody changing their behavior and taking a risk, reaching out to build a relationship in uncomfortable, sometimes difficult circumstances. When it comes to those kinds of interpersonal relations, I don't have all the answers. I make my share of mistakes. And I know that we can all learn and we can all do better. So if nothing else, when we leave this morning, I hope you'll think of yourself all as lay ministers within our congregation. We have a shared ministry here. I knew I was going to be short of time, and that I was going to ramble a little bit. So that you will know where we are, and I'll know where we are, I put down the main points that I intend to cover today, and I'll try and cover them briefly. So my first 5 years of ministry, I've really come to appreciate the uniqueness of our faith tradition. And many people will take issue with this. Some will. But among my colleagues, if I've been developing this and testing and thinking about it for 5 years, it's kind of stood up that what makes us unique is our belief that we can come together, although our understanding of the way the universe works may be different. Our faith traditions may be different. We may have no faith tradition. But we can come together in goodwill, listen to one another, learn from one another, and go away better people as a result. That's different than every other church. My role is not to convince anyone here that this is where you should go, or this is the answer, or that is wrong. My goal is to help you wherever you are, to figure out where you want to go and how you're going to get there. And in the process, to learn from you and maybe adapt and change my own path. Otherwise, we're just another schism of the Christian church, frankly, broken up into I don't know how many denominations. We're not just another denomination. We have a unique message. When I meet people from other faiths, I'm not interested. Well, I'm intellectually interested in their scriptures, but I'm not interested in if they're doing something because it says so in this book, or because somebody told me that I should be doing this. I'm interested in what their spiritual practice is. What do you do in your life that helps you to be centered and to lead a better life? And an example of this that I use, you've probably heard me use it before, but if I'm talking to a Muslim, for example, And that person tells me they religiously pray 5 times a day. Stop what they're doing, center themselves, and pray. I gotta say, that'd probably be good for me. I'd probably be a better person if I was to do that. I can learn from that practice. Not because it was ordained by someone in the past, but because it makes sense and it works for a lot of people. One of the things that affirms in my mind what this uniqueness of Unitarian Universalism is, in my 5 years of ministry, I've had the opportunity to go to 2 retreats every year, one with Canadian ministers and one with Canadian and American ministers. And it's like a 3 or 4 day event. It's an amazing experience. I've also go to something called the Institute, which is organized by the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association. We have a very dynamic leader, president, I guess it is, of the Ministers Association. His name is Don Southworth. He's presently in some difficulty with UUA because of a very frank letter that he wrote about concerns that he felt about the congregation. But he's a very dynamic and very well-organized individual. And it's been his vision to have an event every second year, or now it's become every third year, called the Institute, where ministers, UU ministers, come together to learn techniques and to learn from each other in workshops and to study excellence in ministry. And the next one is coming up in January. And this year, consistent with that vision I was talking about of how unique we are, we're having an institute for ministry, and we're inviting ministers from all faith traditions to come so we can learn from each other what it means to be excellent in ministry. And I'm really excited about that. The importance of the question, why is there anything? So, my own spiritual journey, as a youth, I probably considered myself atheist or agnostic. Agnostic for sure, maybe atheist. Fascinated by natural science, fascinated by physics, reading what I could and trying to understand what I could. The more I delve into that, for me personally, the more importance I've found in that question, why should any of this exist? And it's the oldest religious question. And it's a question that no one is able to answer. Again, you've probably heard me say this, but there are innumerable books out now by physicists saying, we don't need a God. We can explain it all, given whatever, usually given the law of gravity. Given the law of gravity, I can extrapolate everything else and explain how the universe began, why it behaves the way it is, why you are the person you are. But I can't explain why there should be a law of gravity. Why should there be anything, let alone something as magnificent and something that's so puzzling? Because the more layers we peel back, the more layers we find. And the more we learn about the universe, the more things there are to learn. It just never ends. So that inspires me. And that allows me to maintain some kind of a vision of God, which I shy away from trying to elaborate, but a vision of the transcendent. Now, there are people in the world that all they need to do is, give me the facts, ma'am. All I want, you know, the world is here, the death is here, that's all I need to know. I'm not like that. I want to go deeper. I want to understand at a deeper level. Collegiality. So this is another gift you've given me as a minister. I cannot overestimate what a gift that is. And it's something that, as ministers, we struggle and try to work with and say, how do we drive this deeper into our congregations. Because when I meet with my colleagues, there is very little of a mask. There is very little pretension. It's a real opportunity to meet heart to heart and to be honest with each other. And there's a huge effort made to support one another. If somebody's struggling with something, your colleagues are there for you. So when I talk about shared ministry, that's what I want. That's what we all, as ministers, want to drive down into the congregation, that everyone feels that. Everyone feels like they're being supported by their fellow ministers in the congregation. Entrepreneurship. Okay, so I came into ministry out of working in industry. I did some really enjoyable things in industry. It wasn't a huge success. Struggled like a lot of engineers to do the best I could. Often wondered, you know, if I could have become president of the company or started my own company. Or anyway, so I got that drive, and I still want to do those kinds of things. I want to grow in my faith the same way. I want to be entrepreneurial about my faith. I want to take chances. I want to try things. If they fail, so be it. We pick things up and start over again. Don Southworth, that I mentioned earlier with the UUMA, the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association, have been teaching courses on entrepreneurship for ministers. Of course, my problem with that, and many of you here know about my problem with this, is that I can get too far ahead of the congregation. I get all wrapped up in my vision or my idea or my plan. And for that, I beg your forgiveness. And as I start my sixth year, I'm going to try and do better. And look over my shoulder a little bit more. And make sure there are people behind me or in front of me, as the case may be. In the last 5 years, we've gone through a lot in relation to this building. That was an experience for me. It kind of plays off that entrepreneurship idea, because there was a time when I had a vision of a brand new, magnificent building on the corner here, stretching back and including the curling club. And it's not that vision's not gone entirely, but it's... after a lot of work, and it was very good for me, and I think very good for the congregation, we reached the point where we decided we have a pretty lovely space here with much more potential than we've realized now. And so we now have this vision to grow our physical space as our congregation grows. And this that I mentioned earlier, the project we have for the front entrance, is a very first small step in that direction. But I'm really pleased with where we are in that regard. And the only other thing I'll say about buildings is I haven't given up my idea of a coffee shop here. Keep that in mind. Pastoral care and rites of passage. Over 5 years, this has turned out to be, I guess, my passion. That I really like the work of pastoral care. As an engineer, I'm used to fixing things. And in pastoral care, often you can't fix things. So that's a bit of a struggle. So I try to balance that. And when I can fix something, it's part of my pastoral care, then I love doing it. You know? One thing that I've come to realize in doing this is that as a society, as a human venture, we have built some amazing systems, some wonderful systems to help people with all kinds of problems. Be they educational problems, mental health issues, physical health issues. We have built some really good systems. But they're very hard to navigate. If you have a mental health issue and you try to get the system to help you, it is extremely difficult. So what this whole system needs are more advocates, more ministers, more people willing to take somebody and say, okay, I'll go down with you when you meet with a counselor. I'll go with you when you go to the office to apply for whatever program you're applying for. And we'll get through all the hoops and do what we have to do, and we won't take no for an answer. That's what has to be done. And I've got to do that in ministry on your behalf. and I really, really enjoy it and appreciate the opportunity to do it. And encourage all of you to get involved in that way. Our Care and Committee does really great work. We could use more people willing to take on a task and just say, here's a small thing that needs to be done. Could you do this? So we're always open for volunteers. So, using our gifts. I think that's what it's all about in ministry. We come into the world with certain gifts. We, over our lifetime, develop those gifts. And all of us do that to a different extent and have different gifts that we can share with the world. I like to say I'm a good shade tree mechanic. I studied engineering. I have an engineering degree. I'm not a bad engineer. I'm a better shade tree mechanic. I can roll my sleeves up and fix something and know who to call when I need help. But I like doing that. And I like using... That's one of my gifts. These screens hanging above the wall, above here, which are not aesthetically perfect, and I'm working on plans, but I hung those. I felt really good that I could do that. I've got energy. I'm about my 68th year now, and I'm really pleased that I get up in the morning with energy to keep going. And I want to use that as long as I have it. I know that inevitably it's going to start to wane. And similarly, I've had very good health despite my second kidney stone in 15 years or so. I think one of my strengths is patience. And it's a trait that I encourage everyone to develop. And that's partly what meditation is about, developing that patience. And I think I bring some humor to ministry. And that's a gift that we all need to work on and enjoy. It's one of the great gifts of the universe. And somehow humor was built into that seed. At the beginning, before the universe expanded, there was humor there. There was a potential for humor. And it was inevitably going to come forth. So 5 years have gone by in a flash. Really. I feel like I'm just getting started. And in a way, I hope I am. I feel like I'm sort of completing an apprenticeship. I've done 5 years now. I'm not so nervous about some of the tasks that a minister has to handle. I'm going to New Orleans with Janet and with both of my daughters and their spouses at the end of June the 17th. We're leaving. We're going to be in Columbus for that sermon there, and then we're going on to New Orleans for a week, and that's going to be a wonderful experience. And I will get my full and final, it's called full and final fellowship at that point. It's an honor, a very big honor. And there'll be like 3,000 people in the audience. And the bad part is, the first time you do this is when you get your preliminary fellowship, and you go up on the stage, and they line you up at the back of the stage. And then the next time you go up, which I'm doing now, you get final fellowship. And the preliminary people are at the back, and you move a rank forward. And then the next time you get to do this is when you retire. And then you're a rank forward to that. And then the last time, you're not there. And they put your picture up. So I'm moving up a rank, which has its advantages and its disadvantages. So in summary, thank you all for giving me five of the best years of my life. I've enjoyed it and look forward to serving you all. And again, express my appreciation to Janet for her support.